We have a special message for the youth, for young people. I remember when I was a youth, it was when I was a youth that God called me to the ministry. I was 17 when the Lord started calling me to the ministry, 18 when I responded to the ministry. And I remember how I was involved in the youth church in Johor Bahru Baptist Church, and I ended up the youth president, was active there. Then when God started calling me to the ministry, and started dealing with my life, I realized that I had to go. I had to lay down all my ambitions, lay down what I had planned for my own life, and follow after God. When I left for the ministry at the age of 18, that was towards the end of December 1975, as I was taking the train to Penang to join the Baptist Seminary, I remember all I had was just a little suitcase of clothing. It was a red, checkered black suitcase. And with only the clothes on my back and a little suitcase in my hand, had only one Bible, no commentary, nothing, no other book. And I remembered that I had dreams and visions. I knew God had called me. I knew that we need more than what we have in existing churches. I was hungry for more of God. And when I reached Butterworth, Penang, there were my favorite professors and they were picking me up, Dr. Thomas and his wife. I got into the station wagon and they took me all along for a drive. When we reached the seminary, the first thing that I did, it was late at night by the time, everything was new. First thing that I did was to run down on my knees on the cement floor and say, God, thank you. Here is my life, O Lord. I don't know what my future will be like, but all I have are dreams and visions. I don't know much about tomorrow, but I do know that I love you, and here am I, Lord. I am ready and willing to serve you. For many years since then, God has proven faithful. And as I recall back in this area, I ask myself this question as I prepare this message to share with the youth. And for parents too, if you have young people in your family, teenagers in your family, or children growing into teenagers, these points will be essential for you in order to develop the next generation into the things of God. As I look back at the many things that God has done, the many things that God has helped us by His grace to accomplish, so that today the ministry reaches the world and thousands of people. And as I look back, all I started with was just an old Bible, tattered and torn, and a suitcase of clothing, but with a heart filled of dreams and visions to do whatever God wants to do. What are the principles that are important to develop success? What are the principles? Today there are other dreams in my heart and in my life. I could see churches established in 10 nations of the world, linked up together, large dynamic churches that are the center of the spiritual life of this nation. These are still my dreams today, and I have not stopped dreaming. dream for God. But what is it that makes a dream a reality? Surely those things don't come by accident. I can assure you, they do not come by accident. There are principles involved. And these are the principles that have changed my life, that have made me different from other young people of the same age, that have given me direction and vision, so that I'm not like other young people who want to play around. Today we enjoy life, we enjoy the things of God. We are able to do things that a lot of people are not able to do, because we believe in investing for the future. And these are some things that I believe are important to every young person that may affect your future. If you do not do them carefully, they will affect your entire future. And for parents and young people in your family, if you are careless over their lives in this area, you may be encouraging your children through negligence in these areas to the wrong road and the wrong choices of life. What are the things that were important to my life as a young person serving the Lord in the ministry from the age of 18? These are the principles that are important. Number one, choose the right friend. Choose the right friend. Even when I was in school, I did not simply make friends. Maybe that's because of my father. He was a very strict man. He does not believe in us wasting time. And those of us who are old enough and young enough to remember what the temptations, each generation had their temptations. Each that generation had what I call their cool culture, what it was like to be cool. I remember that during my time, to be cool was to party around, join a crowd. And yet I was different. I chose my friends. And I chose my friends carefully, because my father would never put up with anyone of my friends to come into the door with long hair, hippie style. You remember those were the hippie days. A lot of the hippies today are old men and old women. Today you are the punk generation. We could never imagine that today's youth would use the tiffin for their ears. We would never. In my time, being cool was long hair. Today, being cool is bota and punk style. My father would never allow any of my friends with long hair tattered hippie style to step through the door. Believe me, I wouldn't friend with them. I would get a walloping for them. My father was concerned with who I mixed with. And young people and parents who have teenagers and who have children, who one day you got to make those decisions. Whom your children befriend is important. As a young person, it is not the direct influence that is as powerful as the indirect influence. And the friends that we choose will form and influence our goals in life. It will influence our habits, influence how we spend our spare time and our free time. Who were the friends I mixed with when I was a teenager? I mixed with chess players. I learned to play chess from one of them. And from then on, whenever I had free time, I went to the chess club, the Johor Chess Club. And we played there. And we were chessmates together. We represented the state together. We traveled together. These were my friends. And every teenager needs friends. And it was when one of them was came to know Jesus that they brought me to church. I was interested in why he was not able to make up for some of those meetings that we had. So I followed my church mates to church, and it was the first time that I heard the gospel. Today, two of my best church mates are also in the ministry. It's interesting that the friends that we make have a role in forming and shaping our future. The book of Psalms, chapter 1, Psalms chapter 1. As I turn into that, sometimes I see parents being careless about who their children next to. They don't put their foot down. They don't realize that children are learning from their friends as much as they're learning from the church and from their own parents if they are in good communication. In Psalm chapter 1, it tells us, in verse 1 onwards, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. I never had an opportunity to do those things when I was a young man. God preserved me from them, and I thank God for it. I don't know what would have happened to me if I mixed in the wrong group, used everything on my ability, on my intellect, on my emotions into the wrong thing. Knowing myself, if I go into anything, I'll go into it with all my heart, and it may be very hard to turn me back. Thank God He preserved me from all those things. As a result, I never have any girlfriend, boyfriend problem when I was a teenager. Thank God. I was too busy playing tag. A lot of my friends were partying. And today, some of my schoolmates, I remember one of them, he loved parties. He's always going to the party. Today he would probably be same age as me. He's probably going to be 36, turning on 37. And guess what? He doesn't have a future in life. He is nowhere in life. Doesn't have a home to call his own. And is still like a 21-year-old trying to find their place in life. A song comes to me, and that's the song Wasted Years. A lot of wasted years. Our youth should not be wasted years. I believe his problem is because he chose the wrong friend. His parents were not very close to him. They allow him to do whatever he wants. Today, he still doesn't know what he wants in life. His friends were not really friends. They were robbers. They stole his youth. They were wasted years. Number one, we must choose our friends carefully. Why were people like Daniel able to stand so strong in such a young age? Daniel had friends who were godly. They have an opportunity to make friends with the elite. In the book of Daniel, chapter 1, Daniel chapter 1, verse 6. Now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. These friends clicked together and they had one thing in common. They loved the law. They loved the law. They loved God's commandments. And they want to have the best that God has for them. They mean business with God. While the other young people were eating and drinking and having their way, this group of friends were different. They wanted to follow God. and the influence that they have over one another was so great that through persecution, through difficulty, they stood together and they became the top four people in the entire empire. Daniel became the top man, and the other three served in top positions with Daniel. To reach the top, we must prepare now. Your friends will influence you. If you have good friends who are disciplined, who know what they want out of life, you'll be able to reach those goals. But if they hang around with people who, what was the word, generation? Lepa. When you're 40 years old, you probably be lepa at some supermarket somewhere. Wrong friend. They hang out with a wrong friend. In fact, it is friendship that goes a long, long way to a young person. Parents, don't underestimate the power of friendship. I have a mother come and share with me, and she's from another church and another town. She came to share with me how her young son, who was a teenager, was growing up to be like a youth leader, active in youth, active in the things of God. And then when he was on school holiday, she allowed him to do one thing that she rejected the rest of her life. She put him through Outward Bound School. And it was a non-Christian environment. And I know that some of you may think it's good, some may think it's bad. But the batch of young people he went with in the Outward Bound School were loose in their moral, loose in their integrity. And that young man who went and mixed to those friends, just one, he fell in love with a worldly girl. And he lost interest in the Bible. After that, he continued walking in the ways of the world. In 2 years, she lost him. Parents, choose the friend for your teenager. Don't leave it to accident. Don't let those friends push themselves on your children. Make a stand. Although it hurts, it is better to have truth and have it hurt than to have a lie and pretend that the wound is not there. Friendship go a long way. I believe it's the discipline of my friends. And we were so disciplined that having played chess with them for so long, I really didn't have much interest in study. I was more interested in playing chess. I wanted to be a grandmaster. But my friends were very studious, and one of them had a sister who had a flat, and I stayed there during the weekdays and we studied together. We were a very studious group. We encouraged one another. Of course, we have our jokes, our fun. But basically, we were all studious. We were not wayward kids. Why do young people get into drugs? You face one problem. It starts with one wrong friend. How did the first smoke come about? Somebody, one friend who smoked, said, try it. Try it, it's all right. How did the first drug experience start? Friends. Friendship can be dangerous, so dangerous that God says, choose your friends. That's the first choice. Young people, choose your friends. Because it's your friends that provide a support group for your future. Number two, choose your goals carefully. Choose your goals. As a young teenager, I had goals in my life. As I started in the ministry, and even as a young man, I calculated at what age I wanted to retire. That was before I knew the Lord and was called by Him. In the ministry, there's no retirement. The ministry changes but doesn't retire. I calculate if you go to the university and you study a very good degree course, by the time you come out at the age of 25, and you started earning the money, let's say that you managed to save some money and put your down payment, by the time you're 30 years old, and if you're someone who planned your life, by the time you're 30 years old, you buy your first house on a mortgage. And let's say you take a 25-year loan, by the time you finish paying, you're 55 years old. And that's talking about someone who planned their life. What about some other young people who graduate from the university and they don't have a goal, they don't have set goals, they're just wanting to enjoy life? Let me tell you a secret, young people. We were young ones, but you've never been old. Right, all the elderly ones, correct. We were young ones, but you've never been old. So we can tell you some secrets. Today, through the ministry, and in the ministry, we could travel all over the world. My children have been to Disney World, they've been to places. And it's all in the ministry, God's blessing. They've gone to countries, they travel on planes, other times traveling on planes is like traveling on bus. I'm only 36, 37 in September this year. We have a house of our own. And we believe in giving. God helps. But we have goals. So different from people who grow in life and all they want is enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. Wait. We are enjoying now. Yeah, I'm enjoying the ministry. I do enjoy traveling too. And in the ministry sometimes I take 3-4 days to have a break of our own. Where we take our family around, we take the children around, we enjoy it. But here is the part. If you enjoy early, you suffer later. It is better to suffer first and then enjoy permanently. Because if you suffer first, then you enjoy, there's continued enjoyment in God. But you enjoy now, by the time it gets into your head like the prodigal son, it's time to make your life. You look around, you're graduate, and perhaps some other people haven't even gone to university. They're teenagers, they finish the SB, and today is a big deal. That's just kindergarten. Adult kindergarten. And I encourage young people, I said, 20 years ago, that may be a big thing, but society keeps on moving. In 5 years' time, having a university degree is so common. And we have to talk about masters and PhD. If we are still going to be bogged down by the old thinking, a lot of people today, they're working hard. Why? After SPM, they say, hallelujah, let me go for life. And they enjoy life. 20 years later, they found out they still got to study for their promotion. It's better to suffer first and enjoy later. And I would encourage you young people, that doesn't mean that you suffer until you're 55, 60 years old and you enjoy, you travel the world. No, God will be faithful to reward you accordingly. Set goals. So I was counting. I said, basically every young couple wants to believe God for a house of their own, a car of their own, and basic necessity. If they don't set goals, we will never reach them. Start getting in your car and start driving and they say, where are you going? I don't know. And if you keep driving all along the highway, try every freeway you can and say, where are we going? I don't know. We may end up in Thailand. We keep going up. Oh, end up in Singapore. I don't know. Set goals. As a young man, I had goals in my life. I encourage you teenagers, have goals in your life. I knew what I want by the age of 25. I knew what I want by the age of 30. I know what I want by the age of 40. I know what I want by the age of 50. For in life, if you don't make goals what you want to achieve, you will never reach them.
choose your goals carefully. Before I knew the Lord, I had other goals. I wanted to be a grandmaster by the age of 21. Because of my goal, I spent 8 hours a day reading chess books and playing chess.
Man.
Chess man. I would play chess till 2 a.m. What was my goal? My goal was to be the first grandmaster by the time I turned 21. But God caught me in time. Before I go chess man. He caught me in time, called me into the ministry, and chess is just a hobby now. It's not the main thing. But I had my goals. And because of the goals, you work hard for it. There were many, many nights. You can ask my family, my sister Betty is here. She knows when I was a young teenager, I had a chess board in front of me, and through the night I'd be looking at the chess book, playing all those games. I had a goal, and because of the goal, I was willing to spend a time to reach my goal. And all those training that I had in chess still never left me. So far, in all the games I play with chess members, it's always day zero. Hallelujah. It's important for us to understand the importance of goals. Goals help you to have a time frame. What do you want in life? Just this. And without goals have a time frame. Of course, you don't set goals too far that you can't reach and it becomes discouraging. You set goals that are reachable. And I have set goals in my life that by the time I reach 40, we will have a house of our own, and things of our own, and basic necessities taken care by what age you will have those things, and you will be able to exercise faith for them, pray for them, believe God for them, and you work hard towards those goals. I remember in the ministry, goals in the ministry, when I left for the seminary, I had goals in my life. One of the goals that I had was to reach out and preach to thousands of people. And what did I do for those goals? I read every book I know about speaking, about preaching. I tried to read the biographies of every preacher I know who reached out and brought revival to thousands of people. My goal made me spend time in the things of God. And I remember when I was in a seminary, because I have a goal to understand the Bible. I had a goal, and my goal was I would know the Bible from Genesis to Revelation like the back of my hand. I studied the Bible through and through, forward, backward, outlining. I had my own outlines done. I don't use them anymore because I have better outlines today. But I remember writing all those outlines. One by one. I have a goal that I would be able to know the Bible and preach from every book of the Bible. 3 times now in the ministry, God has led me to preach through the Bible. 3 times. Those were goals that I set earlier in my ministry when God first called me. Without goals, we will never reach our objective. I have a question to ask young people. What goals do you have by the age of 21? What goals do you have by the age of 25? You should have a goal about your education. What type of education you have and what kind of degree you have. If you do not have a goal for your education today, it will not happen. And I want to ask those in your 20s who are going to their 30s, what goals do you have at the age of 30 that you will reach? If you say, I don't have a goal, I'm just living my life, you will never progress. I'm going to ask those between 30 to 40, what goals do you have by the age of 40? They say, I don't have any goals. At the age of 40, you'll be no different from the age of 30. I want to be different. I want to grow. I want to change. I want to progress in God. I don't want to remain where I am. By the age of 50, between those between 40 to 50. What goals do you have by the age of 50? Or those of you who are working in your 40s and in your early 50s, at what age have you set a goal to retire and do more work in the ministry? I don't have a goal. No wonder you cannot reach it. We need goals to reach where we want in life. And it starts when we are young teenagers. The habit of setting goals and reaching for our goals. Our goals will help us to spend time in the right way, setting up our objectives. In the book of Daniel, chapter 1, verse 8, Daniel purposed in his heart. He had an immediate goal. He was just a young teenager, and his main goal was that he will finish his education, he will do it well on top of the class, and he will, while doing it, he will not defile himself with his Babylonian custom. Did he achieve his goal? He did. Did God help him fulfill the goal? Yes, he did. A lot of the young people in the Bible became the mighty men of God. Samuel started when he was a little boy. Daniel started when he was a teenager. Joseph started when he was a teenager. And I encourage young people, if you respond to God, give God your youth. Give God your youth. Don't wait until this body has tasted all the pleasures in life, has seen every sin in life, has done every worldly thing in life, until it's all crooked, sick, worn out, about to die. And say, God, here I am, this old body. Take it and use it as you will. No, serve God now in your youth. Now that doesn't mean that we discuss those of you who are more elderly whom God called to the ministry to come. Come! Because Moses was 80 when he started. I'm sure that covers everybody. Sister Martha is sitting there. I mean, she says, encourage you. She's 70 plus. How old are you? 70? 73, and she's going around the world preaching the gospel. Hallelujah! Tell you that is an inspiration for some of you more elderly. She's 73 and preaching the gospel. And may God keep you strong. Hallelujah. To serve Him for many, many more years, Sister Martha. Amen. We need to set goals in our lives or we will never reach them. So be encouraged. No matter how old you are, if it was not your habit, for some of us who are adults, we look back and we regret we should have been goal setters. It's not too late to change. Time to change now. We are goal-oriented people. Now, we don't make our own goals alone. As we pray, we learn to set our goals in God. We need to set goals in our life. Goals in the natural, goals in the spiritual, goals in our intellectual life. Goals in our life. Praise God. Thirdly, choose your heroes carefully. Every young person has heroes. We're not talking of making idols out of them, but all young people need mentors. They need heroes. And parents, this is an area you've got to watch very carefully. A second area parents also have to guide. Parents, we have to guide our children to set goals and targets. We have. Don't just leave it to them. They have to learn it from us. It's important to do so. Thirdly, choosing our heroes. I get very concerned when a young person made an unbeliever their hero. I get very concerned when they make an ungodly unbeliever their hero. There is such a thing as a subconscious impartation that is taking place in the soul realm. And parents just think that it's a passing thing. What happens if your young son, 18 years old, meets Adolf Hitler, his hero? He said, never mind, that junior is so good. I know he's a good boy. In his room are pictures of Adolf Hitler and all the Nazis. Oh, he's my junior. He will always be a good boy. He's just a passing phase. Oh, yeah. When your son turns 21 and 25, you regret it. They'll come to you and say, hey, Bob! Bye! The heroes that they said they will draw, the subconscious habit into that. It is not just what we consciously follow, but what we subconsciously begin to accept. It didn't really happen to me, but it nearly. Before I came to know the Lord, when my goal was to be the first grandmaster by the age of 21, my hero was a few chess grandmasters, among them Bobby Fischer. But by making him my hero, I started playing like him, an aggressive type of chess. Those of you who play chess, you know, he has an aggressive style. But I began to find some things that I began to pick on habits that I never wanted. When I sit and play, I would go this way. And before I knew it, I was exactly like him. In the habit, this is the sad thing. When you want to follow something, you tend to follow the subconscious too. And this was before I came to know the Lord. Thank God he sent me out already. There's a Reader Digest article many, many years ago where he talked about all the queer habits of grandmasters. Some will only eat pineapple all their life. And I found that, for example, Bobby Fischer will not do anything on Saturday. For some reason, he's a funny religion that keeps the Sabbath. And I found myself being attracted by that. Things that, and I was a teenager. Remember, your heroes affect you subconsciously, not just consciously. There is no such thing as a teenager setting up a hero and not trying to dress like the hero or be like a hero in other ways. You better watch it. When a teenager sets the wrong heroes in their life. You better watch it when your teenagers put the picture of Michael Jackson up. That's my hero! And you parents sit around, they never mind, it's just a passing phase. By the age of 25, they're smoking marijuana. Never mind, just passing phase. By the age of 35, you are supporting them. And they're going to cry. Never mind, indeed. The heroes of the teenagers must be chosen carefully. It is one of those things that we need. PGR, Parental Guidance Recommended. When teenagers choose their hero. Once in a while, parents, you must check on your teenager. Have a heart-to-heart talk with them and say, who is your hero? And if they don't have a hero, if they don't have a hero, recommend some to them. But if they have a wrong hero, you better start praying. And you say, who is your hero? And they'll say, Martin Luther King. Because before long, you'll find that Martin Luther King lived an immoral life. And those things will begin to affect the hero worship that the teenagers had. It's important for us to set the right heroes. Bible heroes, men of God, in the Bible. Now, of course, we understand that if some of them are called to something else, I mean, we believe everyone has a ministry, not everyone has to be a preacher. Everyone can preach, but not everyone has to be a preacher. Everyone has to share the gospel, but not everyone has to be in a ministry. If, for example, your son has a call to be a sportsman, he's a footballer, talking about football. It surprises me that people who will not get up at 4 a.m. to pray will get up at 4 a.m. to watch football. Father God, send your thunder. How come we don't have that kind of zeal for Jesus Christ of Nazareth? Did Maradona save you from your sins? Can he save you from hell? No, you have to be playing football in hell with him. Unless he's born again, that is. It surprises me that people who will not wake up at 4 and pray would put an alarm clock there. 4 o'clock, open, shut, the eyes glued, the teeth. And they never fell asleep. But for some Christians, they try to pray at 4, they put a lamp, 4 and they get up. It just surprises me. Anyway, I haven't watched a single football game. Doesn't mean that it's wrong. I know Shankar has. He loves football. That doesn't mean that it's wrong, alright? I'm sure you can illustrate a sermon from the football game. If your son is called to be a sportsman, and maybe he wants to be a champion badminton player, and he says Rudy Hartono, that's quite okay. He's a reasonably good father, he says he's born again. If they set a goal of someone, even if they're unbeliever, but they have an upright moral life, it's in the category of okay. I wouldn't say the best. I'm sure you know there are different degrees. There's okay, good, very good, the best. It's okay. And some of you are aspiring to be football players, and Pili is your hero in that category. Wow. It's okay in that category. But make sure you got other heroes. Make sure you got other heroes. You say, who is a sportsman in the Bible? Where do we have sportsman in the Bible? Where? Some of the mighty men of David. They could throw a javelin so far. They could fight like nobody else fight. Think about Elijah the runner, who overtook a horse. Praise God. It's important to choose the right heroes. Teenagers need human beings to relate to. Most of us adults wish that, why can't you make Jesus Christ your hero? We backslided, buzzed. Come on, parents. They are young people. They need people reachable, touchable. For someone who lived 2,000 years ago, who don't dress even like them, who doesn't dress in jeans, may not inspire them as much. It's a step towards Jesus. Somewhere along the line, they found out that ropes are cool. And then they start following Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Or when someone of their heroes comes to know Jesus and knows Jesus, you notice they also regard Jesus differently. But teenagers need heroes. People reachable, touchable. And we parents have to guide them in that area. Make sure they have the right one. Make sure they have the right one. If your son comes out and says, Mussolini is my hero. Mussolini indeed. his son to teach them and show them what Mussolini did that was cruel. If I were you and your son or your daughter says, Mussolini is my hero, Hitler is my hero, I'll take the history book and read all the terrible things he did. All the suffering he caused. All the hearts he broke. All the bankruptcy he brought his nation to.
Yeah, true.
Yes, yes.
Oh no, true.
I don't want you to be my hero.
Yes, I recommend to you George Washington. Somebody else.
It's important that we parents play a role in guiding our children
when they begin to put heroes in their lives. Number four,
well, heroes, you want a scripture for that? Paul says, be imitators of me as I imitate Christ. That's a good scripture for that. To show the need of a human personification of what people believe in. Number four,
all these have to do with our very choices.
Number four,
choose the right music.
They go a long, long way. Music is the language of the soul and the emotion. Music will influence your children and give them desires that they never had before. Music imparts and stirs up carnal desire if the music is carnal. They are not harmless things. They have a detrimental, subconscious, permanent effect on their soul. Children and teenagers are like wet cement. If you allow the wrong music to get into their lives, it will make their soul form in a certain direction, which is very hard to undo in adult life. Watch the music your children hear. Watch carefully the kind of songs that they are turning to all the time. I remember when I was in Penang and starting in the ministry in other Christian missions, and I was taking a nap in the afternoon and the windows were open and a neighbor was playing his radio. I was in a semi-conscious state, half asleep and not really conscious. Not awake, but semi-conscious state. And the music from the neighbor was filtering through the windows. Some kind of whirly music. And just before I wake up, at a subconscious state, I felt emotional desires in my life. I felt melancholy, I felt loneliness, I felt all the rejection. And just before we came, I said, where did this feeling came from? I never had that. And when I woke up, I heard that song that was going on. It was a melancholy song. From that day onwards, I realized the great impact that music has on our soul subconsciously. And if we don't watch the type of music that the children are getting into, we are allowing rubbish to come into their emotions. Emotions is a great part of our being. We learn how to be careful about what our children read. That's another point, actually. We have to learn to be careful about that. We have to learn to be careful about the emotions. In the Bible, in the book of 1 Samuel, the music that David played was able to drive the demons away from Saul's life. You all know the scripture first in the book of 1 Samuel. This is my conclusion. If music can drive away demon powers, music can also attract demon powers. By listening to a wrong music, your children become rebellious. Their emotions are formed differently. Are your teenagers falling in love and out of love, in love, having broken hearts all the time? I challenge you, check the kind of music that they're listening to. Possibly the music of the world are making them to be emotional people. And they are unsteady in their life. You as a parent are accountable to watch over them in that area. Choose the right music. Number five, choose the right books. And that will include videos, etc. or TV programs. Choose the right books. When your children begin to develop appetite for books, and I include TV too, because today a lot of children are not, they don't really develop a love for books, but they develop an appetite for TV or other areas. I have noticed this. Children who like to watch a lot of TV, many of them, not always true, but many of them lose their appetite to read. It's easier to turn on the TV than to pick up a book and read. We need to teach our children to read the right book. Every single one of us in this room can bear witness to the fact that we all have been influenced by books. We have. We all here have been influenced by books. I'm talking about not just the Bible inclusive, the main book. But besides that, we have been influenced by the books we read. We are the sum total of the philosophies, teachings, and experiences in books. And maybe in today's media, videos and TV, we're influenced by that. And it is an area that we must be careful of. Parents are careful about what their children eat. They will feed them properly, make sure they have the right nutrition, encourage them, and fast over their food. But do they fast over what they read and what they watch? Just one wrong book can cause them to develop an appetite like they never had before. All of us possibly have read many books. Some of us read more than others. And we all admit, books have influenced our lives to a certain extent. Sometimes the book has inspired us in certain goals or changed the direction of our goals. If it can have such a great impact on adults, how much more teenagers and children? Lenin, the Soviet communist, was influenced in his life because he read one book, the Communist Manifesto, Mein Kampf, by Karl Marx. The books we read can influence us. Choose the right books. Watch what they are reading. Supervise what they are reading. Right, number five. Let's turn to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 19. Then they rose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house at Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. Parents, all your children are borrowed to you by the Lord. Although you conceived them, you bore them, they are the seed of your loins. Yet they are loaned to you from the Lord.
You are accountable to your children to guide them, to form them. God has loaned them to you. And it's important that you guide them in all those five areas that we have touched on. Choosing their friends, choosing their goals correctly, choosing the right hero, choosing the right music, choosing the right materials, books or videos that they are constantly exposed to. You may have a great man or woman of God under your wing. I would never have dreamed that in December 1975, that today, in June 1994, in such a short span of time, so many things would have happened, so many things would have been given by the Lord. You never realize that the future is in your hands. And now, when we look back, if we were to look back at where we are today from 10 years' point of view, we will be even more different. By that time, traveling the world will be just like walking across the street. We will live in a different world, different environment. But your future is now in you as a seed, a dream and a vision. Teenagers, your future is now a seed. No matter how impossible it seems, if you will do these five things carefully, it will help the seed to form in your life. And it's easier to nurse a plant in the right environment than to nurse a plant in a wrong environment. When you have this right environment, it is so easy for the rest of the principles and the things of God to work in your life. Parents, we are accountable in these five areas. Teenagers, young people, it is time to make something out of your life. Your life is but a vapor. In a moment of time, it's gone. Some of us here who are probably 55 or 60, don't the 60 years feel like just a short time? Your life is given with a short time span. 120 is a little short to the Lord. What are you going to do about your life? What are the dreams and visions you have? In my heart today are another 9 big churches that God has called me to plant in 9 other nations. They are still not there in reality, but they are as real to me right now as you are sitting right here. The sum total of what we will be is a seed in our hearts right now. All of you were a seed in my life when God first called me in 1975. And what you will be in the future and where you will be, other people, other things that are coming up are seeds of which you are having right now. We need to take those seeds and form it very carefully. They are precious to the Lord. Dream your dream, see your vision. But the only way for them to come to pass, a lot of people have dreams and visions. I have several friends in the ministry who are no more in the ministry. When they were in the ministry, they shared with me the dreams and visions they had. Today they are no more in the ministry. Why don't those dreams come to pass? They chose the wrong friend. They didn't have set goals in their life. They chose the wrong goals. They did not choose the right heroes in their life. They followed the wrong people. They chose the wrong music. They chose the wrong books to train their lives in. If I could look back at my life from a teenager until today, what changed me? What influenced me? These are the five things I learned as I progressed. My heroes were the men of God. And every time there's a great man or woman of God, they were my heroes to reach out to the world. And I chose my friends carefully. I chose in a seminary, I chose friends to talk about revival, the East Malaysian people. And they know about revival, and I befriended them. There were others, they were Pharisees and snobs. I don't mix with that group. I chose my friends carefully. We choose our goals carefully. We choose our heroes carefully. And we choose the right music that will develop our life. And finally, we choose our books. While in the seminary, I read nearly 3/4 of all the books that were there. The books have an impact subconsciously and consciously on my life. And I'm a sum total of what I have read. Do you enlarge your life with all these things? Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for your grace and your mercy in our life. No matter where we are in life today, no matter how difficult the odds against us, with faith in God, it is always possible to reach the vision and dream that you have for our life. Thank you, Father God, that you caused us to be a part of the dreamers and the visionaries of the Bible. Cause your people to dream great dreams, to see big visions, that they may enlarge their tent to fulfill what you call them to. In Jesus' name. Let's all rise together. Let's continue singing that song, only you, that I love. And as we sing that song, number one, if God has a call on your life to the full-time ministry, I know how impossible it is. I would never have dreamed of the place that God brings me today and much more further in the future when I was just responding to God. We only the clothes of all my possessions in one little suitcase. But it is possible with God. However, we have to start somewhere. Take the first step to obey God. Number one, those of you whom God has a call, and you have never responded to the call to the ministry. Maybe some of you are young people, some are young teenagers, or even younger than that. Jesus at 12 years old knew he was called. What about you? It doesn't mean that you need to leave right now. For there may be things that you have to finish off before you can leave. But you're saying, Lord, I'm willing to obey you to the ministry. Maybe God is also calling some of you in the business world. You're sick and tired of being in a secular world. Because there's a call coming in your heart. God calls some people when they're teenagers. God calls some people when they're 40. God calls some people when they're 80. To God, there is no age. There is only obedience and clean vessels. I sound out the call of God. If He has called you, come and follow Him, and He will make you fishers of men. Just gonna sing that one more time. And remember, this call is also open to some of you teenagers, young people. You knew that God has a call on your life. We're gonna pray for you. Thank you. Put your hands right where you are. God is able to place peace into your life. His visions, His revelation. There are things that God has called you to do. Behind the call are thousands and thousands of unsaved people. We all have a destiny to fulfill. We are all each one small part of what God is doing to bring the will of God to this planet Earth. Don't look at how impossible your situation may be. It was impossible as far as I was when I was in seminary to do what I can look back and see what God is doing. It does not depend on the greatness, the difficulty, the impossibility of the task. It depends on your obedience to God each step of the way. What He has called you to do. Father God, you see each heart and each life here. You have something special in your heart and in your life, O God. Things, O God, that visions and dreams. Behind the call is a cry. A cry of unsaved souls. A cry of people wanting the gospel and the things of God. You are the key to those people. That is why God called you and God gave you a vision. Special for you. We want to pray for God to seal that vision and dream in your life. Even right now. We're going to anoint you with oil. And God will seal that vision that He has on your life. And with that, we also pray for the grace of God to open a door for you. To be able to do what God calls you to do in your heart even right now. Thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name, 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 Jesus' name. Take one step forward, please. Jesus' name. His anointing will seal your life. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name, Jesus. Call the youth church, the leaders, come and we're going to pray and dedicate each one of you to the Lord.
Only you, my love.
Pastor Eric, you can call all of them one by one. Dedication and anointing. We are also appointing Joshua Osborne as a trainee assistant pastor to Pastor Eric. Remember, there's only one Red Indian chief, one of my principles in running the church. The youth church, he is the Red Indian chief. We expect you to work together with him to flow with what God wants you to do. And I know how it feels like when you're a young person. The world is all out there and you're full of hopes and dreams. I want to encourage you in what you're doing for God. You keep on walking with God, keep on doing what God tells you to. Every dream and every vision will be fulfilled. As long as you walk with God. Not a single word that God speaks will fall to the ground without coming to pass. We're going to anoint you and separate you unto God and pray that God will impart a steadfastness into your spirit. The steadfastness that I had when I was a teenager to seek after the things of God, to go after the things of God. Pray that God will give the same grace to your life. So that when you yourself are 36, that God will be able to do mighty things in your life. It looks like a big gap between now and tomorrow. But it begins now in your life. We thank you, Father God. That is the measure of your spirit that we receive now upon each one of you. Touch your life, touch your heart, mold your life. We're going to anoint you with oil and pray for an anointing to come on your life. As Samuel anointed David, and David do mighty exploits, so too we anoint you that you may go and do mighty exploits for God. In Jesus' name, 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 in Jesus' name. You have a call. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father God, we pray for each one of these. They have a great task before them, Lord. We pray, O God, that you would give them the dream, the vision that you have. We ask, O God, that you would establish your grace, your mercy. We thank you, O God, that you will cause an understanding beyond their years, a wisdom beyond their years, Lord, to come upon their lives, that they may grow to establish their ministries in you, Father. Thank you, O God. We just dedicate them and the whole youth church to you. Bring them, Lord, into the next phase of your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Let's give Jesus a clap offering for the youth church. Amen.